You know the number? 02890-333-105. 02890-333-105. As you've been hearing in the news, Sinn Féin's Orla Begley has won the West Tyrone by-election and will be the constituency's first female MP, replacing Barry McIlduff. No surprise that Sinn Féin have actually won because they were absolute out-and-out favourites to win this. I want to speak to Ryan McAleer from the Ulster Herald. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You've been keeping a close eye, of course, on the count and totting it up overnight. And Orla Begley, a clear winner, but the turnout obviously down. There's not just as much interest, even though, in fairness, compared to other constituencies, it was a heck of a turnout, but the turnout not as high as previously in West Tyrone.
Yeah, this was a by-election, Frank, and we always knew the turnout was going to be down on last year. The question was how much. As it was last night, it was a 55% turnout. The electorate was about 64,000 in total. So within in around about 36,000 people that actually came out to vote, which I suppose was not to be sniffed at. There was a lot of criticism over this being a sort of a low-key, an election that didn't inspire imagination, but that's quite a significant number of people. Now, last year, we had a 68% turnout in West Tyrone, which was massive for the constituency, but I think the circumstances last year were very different. It was a very different election. The two elections last year were there was a surge in the nationalist vote, particularly in West Tyrone. So this time we have just the one constituency standing. So there was a 13% drop in last year. But if you go back to 2015, when Pat Doherty last took the seat before Barry McIlduff, there was a 61% turnout. So you're talking more about a 6% differential there, which for a by-election is probably pretty typical. Back in 2013, when Sinn Féin took the Mid-Ulster by-election, there was a similar dip, but 7%. So, I mean, it wasn't like what we seen in West Belfast back in 2011 when Gerry Adams stood and there was almost a collapse in the vote. There was only about 37% people turned out then. So I'd say Sinn Féin are content enough with that turnout. I mean, their vote did take a bit of a dent, but in percentage-wise, and their share of the vote only really went down about 4 or 5 points. So it's a dip, and it's perhaps to be expected, but it's nothing overly damaging for the party.
Well, it's a clear victory. Victories don't come much more clear than Orla Begley's in West Tyrone. But the SDLP, however, would be looking at the figures and thinking, you know, our guy seems to be popular enough. His vote, the SDLP vote, went up by 4%.
Yeah, there's reasons to be cheerful, definitely, for Daniel McCross and the SDLP. Against an overall decline in turnout, their vote actually went up in real terms. So, as you say, Sinn Féin down about 4%. They went up about almost just under 5%. So obviously, there was a degree of the message you went through there. Maybe their gain wasn't as big as they'd wanted, particularly with the mandate or the manifesto, particularly about Brexit and opposing Brexit in Parliament. They believed that was really something that could hit home on the doorsteps. Obviously, it did to an extent, but... But, at the same time, it's marginal, small. There's still 10,000 votes off the lead. But, you know, there's some reasons to be cheerful for the SDLP in West Tyrone this morning.
And how do you read Tom Buchanan of the DUP this morning?
Well, Tom made clear last night that he believed that they had closed the gap on Sinn Féin. I suppose he was looking at in real terms of vote. But actually, as a share of the vote, the DUP actually went down. I'd imagine, you know, in the quiet of this morning, there could be a slight bit of disappointment. I mean, not to be snuffed at, that's the second best ever result by the DUP in the constituency, but against the backdrop of what happened with Barry McIlduff and the issue of victims, and Tom Buchanan, the DUP, went with a very strong message about respect for victims of violence. So, you know, against that backdrop, their share of the vote did go down. So I suppose people are going to interpret this what they will. Tom Kendall also was keen to point out that he believes that he was going to take some pro-nationalist anti-abortion votes away from Sinn Féin, but it's difficult to say. You know, you're looking at a percentage like that. People can interpret it in their own way, but what we can say in real terms is that the DUP share did marginally go down.
I noticed Daniel McCrossan was complaining yesterday. He put up a tweet saying his election posters had been removed in Dromore on the Derry Road and in parts of Oma and replaced by Sinn Féin posters. He says, why can't they abide by the rules and show some respect for democracy? How widespread would the swapping of posters be in that part of the world?
Yeah, well, I think anyone who's covered an election will know that candidates coming in over posters is par for the course. I mean, I've been covering elections since 2010. It's just, there hasn't been an election where posters have gone missing. You know, there's been always complaining. His was quite specific about posters going up outside polling stations, which he seems to have a case because he was able to present the photographic evidence. But I suppose there was quite a few different complaints about things yesterday. I was expecting quite a low key polling day, but it was quite a dramatic day, and it turned out we had claims and counterclaims between SDLP and Sinn Féin over the use of electronic devices by polling agents. One of those did turn out to be a Kindle device. However, the SDLP were trying to stress that there was allegations over use of mobile phones. Now, whether any of that was nefarious or not, I suppose it'll be for the Chief Electoral Officer to investigate. But I suppose for polling agents, you're sitting there maybe for 10 hours at a time in the modern era, having your phone, you know, gliding over your social media. It might be difficult to hook the phone, keep it in the pocket. So maybe it's innocent enough, but I suppose the rules say that you're not allowed electronic devices for polling agents, so maybe that's something that the Chief Electoral Officer will look at. And then, of course, we had events in Greencastle yesterday at the polling station there, which were quite troubling. So all in all, it was quite an eventful polling day for ourselves.
Yes, and a person has been charged in relation to the incident in Greencastle. This is the reference to the possibility of a gun having been there, but a person has now been charged. In relation to the electronic devices, and I'm not for a moment suggesting that at this by-election they were used, as you say, for any untoward reason. Just talk generally, why do they not allow electronic devices? What's the worst you could do if you were there with an electronic device?
Well, I suppose the polling agent is supposed to be there for as an observer to observe the democratic process. They're not there, I suppose, to campaign, maybe to relay information back to fellow candidates about people that, you know, checking off people against the electoral register and who has voted and who hasn't. And I mean, some criticism in the past would be that certain parties would maybe check their electoral register and maybe go around and knock a few doors and say, "Here, look, you haven't voted. Do you want to come down now? You know, here's the minivan." You know, that has happened in previous elections, I believe. But the rules say, according to the electoral office, that electronic devices are not permitted to, you're not meant to transmit any sort of information out of the county centre. So those are the rules. If you're going to go straight by the book, you know, if you have a mobile and you have it in your hand and you're using it, you are in breach of those rules. But I suppose in the case of the Kindle yesterday, Sinn Féin said that their election agent or polling agent did actually get permission from some of the electoral office staff to read a book. So, I mean, they're saying it's innocent enough, but, you know, if there's allegation that's been there, they'll obviously have to be investigated.
The county centre, three very well-known faces were turned away, or at least their entrance to the county centre was held up because they didn't have photographic ID, one being the president of Sinn Féin, one being the northern leader of Sinn Féin, and the other being the Sinn Féin candidate. Was that as simple as that? Was someone, you know, going through a box-ticking exercise, or do you have to follow the rules absolutely through? And even though Mary Lou McDonald turns up without photo ID, Michelle O'Neill turns up with photo ID, and Orla Begley turns up with photo ID, even they can't get in.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surreal and awkward moment. I mean, all the media were gathered for the three arriving just at 1 o'clock, Mary Lou McDonald, Michelle O'Neill and Orla Begley. And after some time, they made their way in to the flashing bulbs and, you know, quite a media scrum, and then didn't through the security. There was a bit of a halt and a sort of an awkward silence as they reached around to try and find some way to get in. I mean, I suppose in strict terms, I mean, you're supposed to have ID and no one's above the rules. But personally, I feel covering the count in Omagh in recent years, they've got a bit carried away with the security. I mean, obviously there's security threats in recent years, but there's massive, it's almost like an airport security when you arrive there now. There's a massive team of private security operatives. They're searching bags, and, you know, I think they get a bit overzealous sometimes, and they get carried away with their own importance. Sometimes you feel they're guarding the U.S. president rather than, you know, letting people in and out of a count hall. But I suppose there's a democratic process there, and if something went wrong, they'd be the ones maybe that would be forced to be criticised. So I suppose they've a job to do at the end of the day. But really, we have noticed that security has got a bit more overzealous at the Umo count in recent years, maybe unnecessarily so.
Yeah, well, occasionally there have been incidents in the past, so I presume they want to have every box ticked, as I say, because if there's an inquiry, they'll be the ones who'll be on the horns of the dilemma. With regards, finally, Ryan, with regards to Orla Begley, she's young, she's articulate, she's 26 years old, she's another one of these fresh new faces in politics, and Sinn Féin seem to have a lot of them at the moment. What do we know about Orla that you could tell us that the rest of us don't know? What sort of person will she be as the representative for West Tyrone?
Well, to be honest, I'm not really sure I can tell you much. I mean, Orla Begley had quite a low profile. We know, you know, her father, Sean, was a very well-known local councillor here for many years. He's one of Sinn Féin's key local strategic people when it came to elections and election counts. It'd be very, very well-known as a strategy person. Orla herself has studied law. She worked with her brother, who's also a solicitor over and based around Dungannon. But, you know, the message from her last night was very much the message we've heard from Mary Lou McDonald in recent weeks and months about building a new Ireland, reaching out to unionists, building bridges. So, you know, I believe that we're going to hear very... She's just someone that is willing to sign up to that message. She's not going to rock the boat. She's a safe enough pair of hands in terms of that, you know, the family or for generations have been involved with the party. So she's just, there's going to be very little controversy out of her, I imagine. I think she's not going to step outside the lines in terms of commenting or social media. So she's not going to make the same mistakes as other people did before. So I think we're going to get a very much a straightforward candidate who's just going to, you know, stick to the party line, particularly when she's quite young and maybe still trying to find her feet. So I think maybe as the years go on and she might sort of start to come out of her shell a bit more. But at the minute, we're not really seeing anything too colourful. So we're just seeing very much a straight-laced party message, young candidate coming through.
Some people expected her to be more critical of the dilemma that Barry McIlduff found himself in, but she wasn't prepared to take that step.
Well, when asked about this repeatedly, she did say, you know, as Mary Lou McDonald and other party leaders said, that they believe it was an unintentional mistake, but the mistake was made and the offence was caused. And I suppose that's fair enough, you know, whether or not the what Barry McIlduff did was intentional, only he knows. The offence was caused, so I think they've accepted that. And I've heard from Mary Lou McDonald in recent weeks, she has made some gestures that I suppose sometimes almost just coming on the back of what Martin McGuinness did and the language and gestures he made to unionists. So maybe it'll be worth keeping an eye on that to see where she takes that in future. And I believe that Orla Begley is the next generation coming through will be signing up to that particular type of politics. You know, but as we know here, a week's a long time in politics and things can change very bad and relationships can fizzle out very quickly here, and lines can be drawn quite sharply. So we'll just keep an eye on things over the next weeks and months ahead.
Absolutely. Ryan, thank you very much indeed. Ryan McAleer from the Ulster Herald. You can read all about it in the Ulster Herald and its sister papers. Good morning to you. 90333105. And congratulations to Orla Begley, who is the new MP for West Tyrone.